Yeah, you sure did start off. I'm not going to use this on the air or anything. No, really, I'm just getting some reminiscences from people. Who was the manager then?
Freddie Myers.
What league was it? The Piedmont League?
Piedmont, yeah.
Who else was in the
1932. Oh, Winston, High Point, Greensboro, of course, and Durham and Raleigh and Wilmington. I remember those.
Good league.
It was.
There weren't any.
Cardinals operated this club at that time.
Yeah.
And Oliver French was general manager. And, of course, Ricky was the head knocker all the way in St. Louis. But, as I say, I broke in at the right year, at the right time, at the right city.
Right. Where'd you live then?
Winston-Salem.
How did you get with that organization, with the Cardinals organization?
All right. Now, that was in, we're talking about 32, you know, the Depression. And I had the Cardinals and the Giants interested in me, evidently, at that time. And when you get too interested in, you know, you can talk them in. Well, anyway, they both offered me what I considered a good contract. At that time, it was. I left the job making, well, we won't go into that.
No, but... What did you make with the Cardinals?
$250.
Oh.
And at that time...
That was terrific.
That's right.
Time.
But, see, Winston offered me the same thing. And living in Winston, I took that. And I won my... Here's what unbelievable about it. I won my first three damn ball games over there and got released. And I'll never forget, as being a rookie, the general manager over there had several of us come by his office after the game. I'll never forget. Red Johnson was a catcher. Stephen McCrone, a first baseman. Marty Balin, a pitcher. And there was another guy. I can't get his name right now. But anyway, we had to go in his office one at a time. And me being a rookie, and so well, I was the last one to go in there. As they came out, they said, Wes, they're trying to cut our salary. I said, now let's stick together. Let's don't take a cut. And I said, well, they'd been veterans. I had to do what they said. So, hell, we all said we wouldn't take a cut. You released every damn one of us. But so many leagues were folding then. The Eastern League folded at that time. So they just sent their club down to Winston. Well, anyway, knowing that the Cardinals had offered me the same deal, I came over here to Oliver French. I said, Mr. French, are you still interested in me as a pitcher at the same deal that I was offered? He said, yeah. And so that's why I came over.
Well, whose club was Winston-Salem then?
The Giants.
Oh.
Giants. And then, don't misunderstand me now, but I was lucky, and the Cardinals thought enough of me to take me south with them the next year to Bradenton, Florida. And I went down there, and you know what I did? I threw batting practice 32 times. We had a 30-day period. In those days, you trained morning and afternoon. Wow. You had lunch off at the ballpark. But I pitched every day, and 2 days I pitched morning and evening. I came home and I couldn't lift my arm. And it messed me up for a while. But anyway, that's that first year.
That's fantastic. I always remember, I tell you every time I see you, just about a game that you and Woody Rich pitched in Raleigh. Were you with Raleigh?
Yeah.
And when Woody was here in Greensboro. And it was the first game of doubleheader or seven-inning game.
I had been Durham then, I guess. You were talking about 39 or 40.
No. I'm talking about later. This was after I came here. This was 50 or 51 or 52.
I had to be at Raleigh.
Well, it was Raleigh.
Yeah.
But you and Woody Rich pitched against each other. The first game of doubleheader, seven-inning game. And that game didn't last an hour. You guys just got out there and threw strikes, and I don't even remember who won. But I was broadcasting it, and I remember how short it was. Yeah. Zip, 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 zip.
I've always had people say, well, you pitch too fast. Why do you need to kill all that time out
there?
If you're in shape, work.
You know, these kids, I was talking to the kids in the bullpen over here the other night, telling them about how when I used to broadcast games, they never lasted more than 2 hours.
That's right.
They said, why were they so fast in that business? I said, well, one thing, the pitcher didn't waste a lot of time.
We came out to play.
Heck yeah. And you, when you went out to pitch, you went out to finish the game, too.
Yeah. And something else I must say, because it kind of corrects part, it doesn't correct, but the next year, Ricky sent me a contract. I told you he paid $250 the first year. 33 sent me a contract for $100 a month. And I sent it back with a letter, tried to solve my problem, you know, He sent me a letter back. He said, Mr. Lyon, said you ought to be tickled to death being making $100 a month. Said, people up here in St. Louis are two blocks long, you know. You know, bread line.
Oh, I know. Shoot.
But if you want to play, you'll play for whatever you can get. I mean, those days, we didn't get any bonuses. We played because we wanted to play.
Well, listen, you starting at 250. That's fantastic in
it
those
was
days.
That I was working in a bank. That's where I started. Didn't know what to go into or not. But when I got out of college, I didn't get out of college. I went to college 1 year.
Where'd you go to college?
Duke. Uh-huh. And I had a 4-year scholarship in baseball. And the fellow in the bank, whom I knew, called me this summer to come back, go in the bank. And hell, I was 20, I guess. But anyway, 19 or 20. And I told him, I said, Mr. Montague, he was president of the bank. I said, I got a 4-year scholarship at Duke University. He said, Wes, you get your education right here at this bank. You know what he paid me? $70 a damn month. So I left that $7 a month for $250. That's what I did appreciate. Baseball for 21 year seasons. But then I scouted. I've enjoyed it.
You know, are you still scouting?
No, they retired me a couple of years ago. I could if I want to. There's a club that wants me, but
I'm sure.
I'm too old for that. Ten more days, I'll be 76. So I can't pitch anymore.
You know, but 9 years. You're only about 9 years older than I am. Russ Lyon, good. Some more. No, I'm not putting any on the air. I'm just doing this for me to listen to at home.
I told Eddie. I said, I got a sore arm. I said, they just worked me beyond reason down there. And really, it just strained everything. I was all fouled up. And Eddie, I'll never forget, he said, I said, just go in and get under a shower, put a hot towel on your arm. And you know, I'd do that, and that SOB would pitch me that same damn night. He kept me about a week, and I was in about 5 damn games.
Good, great.
And then he released me. But of course, I don't blame him for releasing me, but what I'm saying, in those days, the guys didn't protect you, didn't help a fellow who didn't know. And I've always felt, you know, felt kind of funny about that.
Oh, I don't blame you.
And I beat around until 37. 37, I got back, and I never did get my fastball back, but I came up with a sinker and a good curve. And I learned to pitch. That's the damn secret. Control is the best asset a pitcher can have, in my opinion. And I'll tell you something else. And a changeup is next to that, with average stuff that they say. It takes you a long time to learn. But anyway, then I played down here, and then in 38 I went to Bassett, Virginia, and I had a real good year. I won 21 and lost 10, I believe it was, in the season, and then I won 3 in the playoffs. That's when Cincinnati bought me.
What year was that?
39. They bought me in 39. So I went up there and warmed the bench for them.
That's when they were winning the pennant.
Hell yeah. No, I was on the bench.
They had Derringer and Vandermeer and Bucky Walters.
That's
and,
right. They did the pitching.
Yeah.
And Whitey Moore. And
left-hander.
Peaches Davis. Left-hander Grissom. Vandermeer and Grissom were left-handers.
Yeah, but they had another left-hander. Junior something.
Thompson. But he was Thompson. Right-handed.
Right. Was he a right-hander?
Yeah.
I thought he was left-handed.
Yeah. But anyway, I didn't get enough work at Pettis to stay sharp.
I guess not.
But I just slipped up and down the bench. I got in a few games, but nothing to brag about. And then later on, they sent me to Knoxville and then back to Durham. So that's how I came back in this time. But I enjoyed most of it. I tell people I ducked a lot of line drives, but I enjoyed most of it.
All right. More of Wes Livingood. I say, this is just for me, Wes. This is nothing. Just...
We were playing in New York. We were playing in polo grounds. You remember polo grounds?
Oh,
it's a football field with short fences.
Oh, yeah.
And this is after I came out of Bassett, that short park in Bassett. Well, anyway, it was the middle of the game or so. I went in to relieve. And being used to short fences, we don't pitch outside and make the guys pull the ball. And Burgess Whitehead, who lives down here in East Park, first batter. So I pitch it. He's right in here. So I pitch at Monkey Low, outside. And he hit that ball at least 255 foot.
Yeah. Let's hope
just a Texas league. Yeah, we understand. See,
right. Yeah.
Damn. And the next guy up.
Where'd he hit it? Down the right field line?
Yeah.
That short right field line. That's where Audie
is. 253 down there.
Yeah. So
and the next guy up hit one over there. It hit the wall, and it ricocheted by Ivor Goodman and Harry Kraft, the outfielders.
Yeah, I remember.
And went all the way to center field. So that's two home runs on me. And I didn't. And I said, well, I can't pitch them outside.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what I know about that ballpark. Goodman and Kraft and Jimmy Ripple. McCormick was the first baseman, and Fry was the second baseman, or the third baseman.
No, you're right.
Second
Myers,
baseman.
Myers, when Myers was short.
Myers was the second baseman, and Fry was the shortstop.
Well,
Lonnie
he
Fry.
Played with infields.
And who was the third baseman?
Billy Werber.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And Lou Griggs was a utility infield.
Yeah, yeah. And Lombardi was the catcher most
That's
of the
right.
time. Lombardi,
yeah.
And who was the guy that committed suicide?
Hershberger.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, the second that's two home runs.
Was the manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that in a minute. And the next hitter was JoJo Moore, a big left-handed hitter.
Yeah.
Well, I already found out I couldn't pitch him outside. So I just tried to blow one up high and tight on him, and that ball's still going. It went off in the second deck.
First pitch, he was a first pitch hitter. He was a leadoff man on a first pitch
yeah.
hitter. I remember him.
Just, and the next guy was Harry Danning. And you know,
Harry the horse, the catcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were out there talking about that fork ball.
Yeah.
You remember? Harry Danning was the next hitter, and I struck him out with fork balls. They call it now the split fastball.
Yeah.
But anyway, I told you this out there, I think about. I knew that he would, McKeg was too smart to let me go back in. I told you that out there.
Yeah.
So I just grabbed my glove up and put it in the hip pocket and went to Shires, which was in deep center field.
Yeah.
I felt like a fool, but I knew he was going.
500 feet to deep center field, too.
That's right. Well, anyway, I was supposed to bat that inning, which, you know, I didn't think it would anyway. And the McKegney coached third at that time. Well, anyway, I came to bat that, supposedly going to bat that inning. And McKegney hauled off the bench for Livengood, go ahead and hit. Well, I wasn't there. He hauled two or three times. Livengood, go ahead and hit. I wasn't there. I was in the chair. And the boys told me about that as they came to the chair. And he ate me out pretty good. But I've already regretted that. But I figured as smart as he was, he wouldn't put me back in there. But that's one of those experiences, you know. You remember some of them.
Oh, yeah.
But they had too good a ball club for me to be on anyway. You know, they had winning pitchers. Derringer won 20-some. Bucky Walters was a 20-game winner. Vandermeer was a 20-game winner. Those other guys did all right. Of course, they figured I didn't have enough experience. But I had experience. I had the rough type of experience. I enjoyed the most of it.
Russ Livengood good again.
They're going to think I've had great. Too many beers, aren't they? You know, I told you I had that four-year scholarship at Duke.
Right.
Right. Now, the girl I married...
Was Jack Combs a coach here? No.
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah.
Okay.
I taught him about what he knows. Jack Combs. But Mildred and I, she was my kid, sweetheart, about fifth grade on. Well, anyway... She had a job to Wachovia Bank. She finished high school and went to work. And then, as I say, I went 1 year and came back. And when Mr. Montague offered me that job at the bank, I thought, well, what the heck? She's working and I'm working. Why don't I get married? But she made me promise her that I would not play professional baseball. That's what I want to tell you. So I stayed in that bank as a teller and a bookkeeper for a year and a half. You remember how bank cages used to be back in those days,
sure.
About a 4x6?
Sure.
I had too much energy for that. Well, anyway, I lied to her. See, when I played City League ball, and I had a pretty good arm at the time, and as I say, they had the Cardinals and Giants instead, and I went home and I said, Milton, this is going to be a lie. But I'm going to have to admit it. If you think I'm going to stay in that dang bank at $70 a month and I ain't going to make $250 a piece for you, then you're wrong. And she hadn't got over it yet. But wouldn't you have changed?
Heck yes. You'd have played baseball for nothing anyway.
That's damn near. I did almost. That's better. But I felt badly about that, but nevertheless, I think it made good sense. If I stayed in that cage, I'd have been dead 20 years ago.
Wouldn't have nearly as much fun.
Oh, man, it wouldn't have had any fun. But anyway, that's something that I think about lots of time.
Our entire interview was with Wes Livengood, former pitcher. 74 years old now. Oh, 77. I don't know. I can look it up. 75, 6, 7, something. I can look it up.